Hush, what is she murmuring, the moon in the milky sky? She's singing a song she heard from the sun, his daylight lullaby. Hush, what are they saying, the stars in their shimmering crowds? They're telling the tales they hear from the moon, whispered above the clouds. Hush, where are they going, the planets in grand parade? They carry the wisdom of stars to the dawn, where night must meet the day. Hush, it's nearly morning. The sun will soon appear, shining with stories the planets composed for him. Listen, and you'll hear. Because there isn't any history, I have made plans to sail, to enter stealthily those undying lands where Boadicea and Cleopatra meet for tea. They rise to greet the entrance of Diochan, the dancing girl, heroine of three kingdoms, and Parvati, who won her god by raw austerities. I've made plans to sail because I want to know the secret such sublime women gather to discuss, or if, since there isn't any history, must their meeting always and forever have no agenda, no men, no need for secrets? When the monsters migrate, grazing slow and heavy overhead, through forests of the old answers, sap from wounded stems spills down, spattering the paint and plaster of our cities with glints of the sky. And our children, their attention revived by hoofbeats of thunder, lift their ivory lattices, eyes wide and limbs pale, and ask, who makes the taste of rain? What language does the moon speak? Where does skin for clothing come from, and the bone for toys? But since we fear our children might see monsters or find the sun in shining puddles, we read to them from the dung paper picture books which contain the ceremony of drought. We chant the litanies and hymns. We tell the stories. Once upon a time there was a noise, and it's from stones the leather and the paper grow. We show the children how the mountains are dissected, how rivers of ideas are set in concrete courses. Old answers, weren't they lovely, we say, but new surmisings give us everything we use. As we close the lattices to make night again, we sing our children a ceremonial rhyme to help them fall asleep. Skies deceive us, light has lied, dust must daily be applied. What are monsters, what are moons? Games for rainy afternoons. Then with handfuls of earth, we dull the sap shimmering on the horn tiles of our doorsteps and pray the monsters soon depart. Sense the drought, the sound of rain. Is like a guest arriving late who brings a rare liqueur to share, pouring everyone a generous cup. Sense the drought, the sound of rain is like the heavy cold of that trophy we trained for, showered with cheers from a delighted crowd. Sense the drought, the sound of rain is like the incense breathed back from church walls on a warm afternoon when I'm alone and listening. Sense the drought, the sound of rain is like the face of my friend who died 5 years ago, her smile returning, a pledge of resurrection. Sense the drought, the sound of rain is most of all my son, who woke like thunder from a fevered sleep and in a joyful torrent tried to tell me all his dreams at once. It isn't that I don't believe, it's just there's too much to believe. I take my meds, I try to limit fats and screen time. If it isn't raining, I take walks for exercise. Not far, but always on a way I like to go. I think about God sometimes while I walk, and church. There's a church along my road. They used to have a little garden and beautiful stained glass windows before they renovated. They used to have a cross out front, but they replaced it with a notice board. There's a cat who comes over from my neighbor's apartment. She's very friendly. I save milk and table scraps to give her. She seems happy, so content. Sometimes I watch her sleep. Sometimes I look for signs of God, for proofs in small things, in cats' faces, in flowers. At that church, I hear drums and laughing when I walk by on Sunday mornings. I think, on Sundays, maybe God is closer then. I listen sometimes to the wind or to the traffic, listening, I guess, for a sound that only God could make, or a beautiful coincidence, or something old that's still around, forgotten, like something that might have once belonged to God. Why aren't they holding hands? A girl asks her father, squinting curiously up at the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And following her eyes, I look above the tourists' heads to where, like film stills cut from a reel and spread in place of heaven, images I've seen reproduced in kitsch and textbooks and satire, but especially those famously sinuous hands, thought reaching or receding, but in truth immobile, with a gulf of unpainted plaster fixed between them. Why aren't they touching? The girls question a stimulant or a solvent. For which unfortunate age is this uncompleted reach a satisfying portrait of human origins? It's not the ancient story, the birth from virgin earth and spirit, birth in wonder, out of wonder. God as Adam's anchorage, Adam as God's heart's concern. Creation is not other than God. It delights him and it costs. Adam, summoned always from God's boiling blood, incarnation intimate as a spear thrust, Adam within God engraved on every rib. Instead, the Sistine ceiling shows a novel deity, muscular and indifferent, the sign of a culture legislating its release from the divine entwining. Muscular and indifferent theologies and sciences are what it wants. Humanity now self-complete, its God looks on approvingly from afar. I confess I'm shaken. How did we never see dismemberment in God taken out of Adam, Adam out of God? The monstrous gap between these frescoed fingers is an infection I myself have caught, an illness cauterizing as it vivisects, it leaves us numb to the extent of loss. Adam, where are you? Crowds of Adam's children amble through the chapel, past the eyes of languid guards. Does anyone see? A girl in a blue dress with a red scarf has broken the illusion.